Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Wednesday, April 9th, 2025. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about Season 3 of Yellow Jackets, and we'll present an interview with the director of the most recent episode, Ben Semenoff. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film editor BJ Colangelo.
Hi.
All right, BJ, I have a confession to make. I have not seen any of Yellow Jackets. I heard the first season was really good. I kind of heard things dropped off a little in season two, and I was like, okay, maybe I don't need to watch the show because, as you know, there's just so much stuff to watch at all time. And then I've heard that season three is actually really good. So what do you think about season three? I know you've watched the show all the way through.
Oh, yeah. So I used to do episode recaps for season one and season two. Didn't do it this season, but season one, I would say, is one of like the strongest debut seasons of any television show. Season two is a little bit clunkier because this is when we're having the exit of Juliette Lewis, which I don't think was originally planned. And so you can tell that the season is trying to make her exit make sense in the show. And then season three, the first, I would say, 4 or 5 episodes are a little bit of recovery mode of, okay, we have to take the show into a little bit of a new direction. How are we going to steer it back on course with what the original plan was from the very, very beginning? And then episode six is where everything really hits. And for the rest of season three, it just sings. And some of these episodes are the best episodes of the entire show. It's absolutely incredible.
Wow. Okay. So I've waited so long to see the show that it's okay if you talk about some spoilery stuff, especially about episode 9 of season 3. So don't worry about me. I'm trying to think about our listeners who actually have watched the show and kept up with it, because I think this episode is mostly for them. So what do you think about episode 9, which is the most recent episode? It came out, I think, last Friday as you're listening to this. We're recording this a little bit early. But what do you think about what made episode 9 special compared to some of the other episodes that have happened in season 3?
Sure. So season 3 has been a big season of killing off characters that people really love. And that does include my favorite of all of the Yellow Jackets, Van. Van is played by Liv Hewson in the teen series and Lauren Ambrose in the adult seasons. Adult Van was not somebody that we knew existed in season one. That was one of the big questions, is does Van make it out of the wilderness? Does Van survive? And in season two, we learn that not only does Van survive, but she's living her best life. She runs like a 90s style video rental store where you can still rent out VHS tapes. Everything about Van is she's cool, she's gay, she loves movies, like very, very easy for me to love this character. I've written about the similarities between me and Van and how it's like, all right, did they just go through my own high school diaries to write the show? Who knows? But I love Van. She is probably the character of all of them who is the most even keeled and has a really good head on her shoulders. And all throughout season three, we are afraid that Van is going to die because she also has cancer, again with the things we have in common. But that's not what happens in episode 9. In episode 9, Van is killed by adult Melissa, played by Hilary Swank. So another actor that I love. I had to watch her kill my other favorite character, and I just couldn't believe that that was the twist that it went to. I thought that I was going to have this very depressing, sad cancer death of Van, and it's like, nope, stabbed, just brutalized by Hilary Swank. It was a true shock, completely caught me off guard. and just heartbreaking, heartbreaking. And what made it even more interesting is that Ben Semenoff, who directed this episode, is also the person who directed the first episode in season two, where we saw adult Van like alive and interacting. So the same director who kind of brought her into the show is also the one who took her out.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was just looking at his filmography. He's directed a bunch of TV over the past few years, a couple of episodes of Ozark and an episode of that show Candy that came out not too long ago, Tulsa King, The Old Man. He's kind of been all over the TV sphere recently. But yeah, anything you want to say in terms of setup before we jump right into your interview?
Yeah, I mean, he's a really cool guy. I like getting to talk to people who are directing television, especially when it's a show like Yellowjackets, where he comes in, you know, directs a few episodes and then leaves, because that's how TV works. Other directors, you know, try their hand on, you know, different episodes. So Ben Semenoff, yes, is the person who brought Van in and out of our world, but he is also the person who directed the episode where they actually indulged in cannibalism for the first time. So he is very much foundational to the success of the show and is responsible for directing some of the series' very best episodes. So getting to talk with him was very, very cool. And as he acknowledged, yeah, he also directed that show Candy on Hulu, which also had Melanie Lynskey on it. So he's also gotten to work with some of the cast of Yellowjackets on other projects. And I don't know, I think that that's reflected a little bit in some of these episodes. I think that you can kind of feel the trust that a lot of the cast has with the director.
Very cool. All right, so here is BJ's conversation with director Ben Semenoff.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter. Hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Well, hello. My name is BJ Colangelo. I am coming to you from Slash Film. How are you doing today?
I'm terrific. It's very nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you as well. I know that you are not the sole person to blame for this. My first question is, how dare you? How dare you? I love Van so, so much. Cannot believe you.
They were going to go a completely different direction. And I just said, no, we just need to off them.
So, Two Truths and a Lie in season two is the first time that we really get to see what Van has been up to as an adult. Was it always the plan that you would be the one to direct the episodes that brought her back and where we have to say our goodbyes?
It's well done for noticing that. Yeah, that was it was an honor, I guess, to be able to introduce her as an adult and then to say goodbye. In episode 9, it was sad, but she and I sort of commiserated over that, and it was a nice sort of arc for our relationship and for the show.
Yeah, I thought it was very poetic. It also felt very Van to have sort of this like beginning and ending that's very cinematic in that way of like, the director of the first is the director of my last. Like that just, it seems very on brand for the character.
For sure. For sure. I would totally agree. You know, Van is is certainly a child of the 80s and 90s like I am. So we sort of defined our lives, continue to define our lives through movies. I mean, my children do now as well, because that's all they hear from me and my wife. So, I think that's an interesting observation that you've made.
Yeah, well, of all of the girls, Van is the one that is my most kindred spirit. It's like we both live and die by the media we consume. We've both had cancer. We're both gay. I was like, oh, God, like they're just going through my diaries at this point to make this character. So this episode also brings, I would consider, like, four big twists with Shauna shooting at Melissa, the sign that she's fully lost it. Lottie miraculously not falling into the pit like Jesus walking on water. Hannah turning on Cody, which is shocking but kind of fun. And of course, Melissa as an adult killing Van, which is both shocking and massively heartbreaking. At any point, did you look at this script and think, good God, how am I going to balance all of this?
It's funny you asked that because the answer, honest answer was no. And I would say the reason is because out of the three episodes I've done for the show Yellowjackets, episode 202 was the biggest. And so I think after that, after this massive episode where we sort of break the cannibalism, seal. This didn't seem quite as cumbersome. I mean, there were some real big moments, obviously, like you've outlined, and particularly one that you didn't note, which was this sort of the rundown scene with Melissa being chased by Misty, Thaisa, and Van, which actually consumed a massive amount of time. So yeah, it was a big episode, but in the shadow of 202, not as big.
Yeah, I mean, 202 is going to be one of those those isolated episodes of television that people talk about for years to come of, what was the moment that you went, "Oh, I'm all in on Yellow Jackets." And for a lot of people, it's like, "Oh, when they ate people." So, you've got that going for you. But premieres and finales are often considered sort of like the make or break episodes of seasons, but I would argue that penultimate episodes are the true crux. And maybe that's just because prestige TV has completely changed my internal tempo of watching television. But how do you navigate the challenges of these penultimate episodes that are so important, but also then have to set up what is ultimately going to likely be paid off, hopefully, in finales?
That's a good question. I think in general, I'm not sure that I treat any episode of television any differently than another, because ultimately my goal is for you to come away having sort of, for that 1 hour that I've had your attention, having had sort of a great ride, and I think whether it's that quintessential episode four, which is like bit of the snoozer episode, unfortunately, in a lot of television, right? And everybody goes, oh man, you just had to get through episode four. But for me, as a director, that's like a great challenge. Yeah, give me the episode that is just laying brick and let me make that really entertaining. Obviously, with an episode like the penultimate episode, which is always the best episode of television, I guess if you look at the sort of the classic paradigm of maybe a movie, episode nine in movie terms would be falling right when things are most climactic, and leaving episode 10 for a lot of the resolution. And so yeah, it's sometimes a gift, because you're getting something that is tying up a lot of loose ends and is sort of really exciting. But I, again, it's for me, I go through my same sort of motions of trying to make sure that everything pays off. And obviously the writers, we have amazing writers that are sort of spearheaded by Jonathan Lisko and Ashley Lyle and Bart Nickerson. And in this episode, I've gotten again to work with Sarah Thompson, and they put the building blocks in place. For me, it's about sort of bringing that to life, and trying to make sure that the moments land and that the episode is an exciting ride. There's not, it's not always, it's not, it can always be a 10, right? So you have to sort of like, just like maybe a conductor of an orchestra, you have to sort of have your eye on that build and make sure those moments pay off.
Yeah, I agree completely. I lurk in the Yellow Jacket subreddit just because I like to see what fans are theorizing and what's going on. And you're totally right. I think a lot of people, I don't know, maybe it's from binge watching or what have you, but they just assume every episode's going to be at a 10, and it's like, no, we have to build things. If we start at a 10, there's nowhere for us to go. We need these ebbs and flows. So I love knowing that Yellow Jackets is still maintaining that, tradition of storytelling. It's what makes it such an interesting show. So this is more of like kind of like a fandom issue, but as somebody who loves movies and television, Yellowjackets is such a dream for anybody who, the 90s were formative years for them. And so you've got all of these incredible actresses that so many of us grew up loving, and this season, bringing in Hilary Swank, which is so incredible. What is it like to work with all of these people that likely were, I assume, part of the fabric of you falling in love with movies?
Wow, that's a good question. I have my first answer is that I wish that television had a longer production schedule so that you could enjoy it more, because we race to cram in a lot of storytelling in a very short period of time, and so there's not a lot of, unfortunately, a time to sort of bask in how awesome it is to sort of be sitting with one of the Karate Kids,
Right. Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I'm such a defender of the next Karate Kid. I catch a lot of heat for it. That movie's underrated.
Oh no, for sure. And yeah, I've had an opportunity now to work with Melanie several times, both on Yellow Jackets, on Candy. And I have to say, I could sit here and talk about the terrific adult cast and how amazing it is to work with them, but we have such an incredible teen cast. We have a cast full of actors that are gonna be, for this generation, the kinds of actors that we're talking about, in 20, 30 years from now, these are fantastic actors. So yeah, it's actually a pleasure to work with both the teens and the adults in their own right. But what's fun about working with the adults is they know where they come from, right? And they can have fun with it. I think one of the best moments, the funniest things I found with working with Hillary was, like, yeah, she knows that the pop culture she comes from. And so when we were sort of spitballing this idea that her arm had gotten sort of dislocated in the fight with Shauna in episode 8, and we started talking about, well, how at some point she probably needs to put it back in, how would she do that by herself? And I said, well, you do it just like Mel Gibson did in Lethal Weapon. You slam it against a wall, which is 100% not how you do it. But she loved that, being a child of the same era. She thought that's the greatest thing ever. So if you watch closely as they're driving past her, she's slamming her shoulder against the minivan to relocate her shoulder. And so it's super fun that they can sort of enjoy being part of that history and also sort of poking fun at it.
And I think self-awareness is healthy, especially for anybody who's been in this industry as long as many of them have been. I mean, my Zoom background is blurry, and this is audio, so people can't see this, but like I have a Heavenly Creatures laser disc framed on my wall. So like I have baby Melanie Lynskey in my office at all times, and then I get to tune into Yellow Jackets and enjoy, adult Melanie Lynskey being so goddamn terrifying in the best way possible. So I have time for a couple last questions here. So in talking about the teen cast, I agree with you completely. I think that they are so phenomenal. All of them are just absolutely brilliant, but you've really gotten to direct two very different teen Shaunas, with Sophie Nolis, ooh, brilliant, brilliant. Has your directing style had to change now that Shauna has changed so dramatically in personality, or is she just good to go because she's that brilliant?
Probably the latter. She is that brilliant. I think what's changed is the comfort level that the two of us share with each other. She is a lot of fun, but she's a spitfire, behind the camera. And so there's a lot of fun in just sort of like crafting that character, crafting all the teen activities, and sort of seeing where we can push it to. But yeah, I don't know that my style has really changed in approaching her. I mean, there's really, like, there's the before birth Shauna and Afterbirth Shauna. You know what I mean? I think that's sort of like the demarcation line in that character. And I think she's done an amazing job this season in giving us something fresh with the character. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a big soft spot for Shauna, especially seeing the feedback where people are like, God, she's so terrible. And I'm like, have you all forgotten what this poor child has gone through in this wilderness? Cut her some
Yeah.
slack. She's allowed to be a little nuts right now. but my last question for you, obviously, without spoiling anything, can you give one or two sentences to describe what we would all expect next week for the finale?
Oh, I think you're gonna see some loose ends tied up, but you're gonna find a whole bunch more questions ahead of you. And I think that's ultimately what makes this show special, is that they managed to continually entertain us and bring us something fresh that keeps us sort of hooked and enjoying it. And I don't really I don't want to go any further than that. Don't want to spoil anything for you.
Perfect. That's all I needed to know. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today. This has been such a joy. The season's been absolutely wonderful, and congratulations once again on, having an episode that is going to haunt me for years to come.
Thanks, BJ. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's going to do it for today's episode of the show. You can find more about Yellow Jackets at slashfilm.com. I'm going to link to BJ's review of the season in the show notes, so you can find it directly there. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really does help us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.